We've been friends for a long time and admired each other's music, so it kind of...
Why, thank you.
You probably don't admire me now. No.
I did, yeah.
Well, that's all right then. But yeah, we've kind of been like the two Ronnies of Northeast pop for without actually making any music. And it was a good time to come together and cross-pollinate some of our musical influences that perhaps we don't indulge in our other bands that we play with. I kind of had these bits of travel writing that I'd written when I'd been around the globe, and also just in England, you know, when I'm walking down the street, if I see something that I think is notable, it takes various different forms. Sometimes it's a lyric, sometimes I do a drawing, and other times I just kind of describe what I see. Some of it was kind of poetic or kind of musical, and I didn't really know what to do with these things. That's when I approached Peter and said, do you have any music that you haven't done anything with? And that was the genesis of it, really. You know, some of the stuff that Peter sent to me was imagined string quartet music, MIDI synthesizer strings, sounding pretty funky.
I had been thinking about doing something for a non-rock band ensemble, you know, thinking along the lines of... Randy Newman or Van Dyke Parks, their love of classical music, for want of a better phrase. So I thought, well, how can I kind of assimilate my favourite classical composers into something that could be seen as pop music? Unpopular pop music, maybe. Oh, oh, oh.
Lyrically, Maximo Park's very much an emotionally driven pop group. I, as a pop writer, enjoy, you know, going to the bridge, going to the chorus. Having said that, the things that I'd been writing were not particularly within that world. And with what we were doing on Frozen by Sight, I felt like it didn't need to go in a particular direction. The songs could just evolve according to the words. Transporting
people. There are different places that feature in the songs. I guess this is from your travel writing then, is it? That each song take you to a different place? Is that right? A different town?
Yeah. Well, every single song on it is a place or a journey. For example, as being driven along this road in Western Australia. There's another song that opens it up called Old Odeon, which was about the Odeon in Newcastle that's now got nothing in it. There's a tradition of artists or creative people from Victorian times just watching the modern world, seeing it evolve before their eyes, being interested in the decay of the modern world as well as the beautiful parts of it. Sat on a red branded deck chair. You should be emotionally driven by what you see. There's a whole kind of field of people who probably don't want to be called psychogeographers, but are, you know, people like Ian Sinclair, writers who are trying to dismantle what's around them and look at the context of the place that they're in. And I wouldn't go as far as saying that these are psychogeographical, but they kind of lean towards that.
I tried to be quite quick in terms of coming up with musical ideas to go round the words, trying to evoke the lyrics, imagining what these places might even like feel like.
There are characters in the songs that were never intended to be characters in a song. They were just me thinking, what's that guy doing sweeping in the gutter over there in Los Angeles? And then once it's set to music, it feels like a character driven song. But I love in distant hills, silent flight.